Welcome back to Pop Culture Failure, where we watch a show from our youth and see how it stands up. I'm Sky.
I'm Jake.
And I'm today James. And today we have a special guest.
It's James.
It is James.
Hi,
James.
I'm James. Sorry about that.
You're good. It's happened almost every time.
Sky doesn't give any instructions. He's the worst. I've only just learned when to say my name. 18 episodes in.
Yeah, today we are watching the 18th episode of Ninja Turtles: The Next Mutation.
King Wick!
Yeah.
And
it stars everyone's favorite puppet, Wick.
Yep.
Yep.
He doesn't have legs.
He does too. You see him all the time in this.
Yeah, but they're just dangling.
They don't do anything.
Yeah, they don't creepily. Do anything, but he has them.
They're just dangling super creepy-like off of that pillow he's propped on.
Yeah.
Except for the time when he's in a toilet.
Well, oh god, we'll get there. So I guess going on my teenage experience, I grew up like watching the original show, collecting all the figures, and then kind of falling out because just like switching over to Power Rangers for a bit, and then eventually just catching TV like, oh, they made a live action TV show. Oh, so we just like the movies. This will be good. And then watching one or two episodes, like, this is not good.
No.
And then never coming back to this TV show until now. Where I discovered, oh, it is still really bad.
Yeah, I think you were the first person to volunteer as a guest.
You dummy.
Oh, also, I continue on theme of, like, obscure Turtles memorabilia. I remember Alan talking about how he saw the Coming Out of Shell tour. He had the video cassette tape.
Uh-huh.
I had the cassette tape with the soundtrack, and I listened to that all the time, to the point that my parents lost it when we were on a road trip because they were sick of listening to it.
Yeah. Oh, are we showing off our weird obscure Ninja Turtles memorabilia, because I have the Vanilla Ice music video tape signed by Vanilla Ice.
Wow. That
my brother saw Vanilla Ice like 3 years ago and was like, give me that tape. I'm gonna get some stuff done. And he did it.
Yeah, we should really put that in like a shadow box or something.
Yeah, it should be hanging on the wall.
I'm not surprised Vanilla Ice signed that from what I know of Vanilla Ice.
Oh, man. Why didn't we go to Vanilla Ice? I don't remember.
Because we didn't want to.
That does sound like me. It doesn't sound like you.
Oh, it was way too expensive to see Vanilla Ice.
There it is. Like, okay.
$30.
Yeah. That's too much.
That's someone you see for free on accident.
Yeah. That'd be too much when in his prime.
Yeah.
Vanilla Ice should pay you to come and watch him.
Absolutely.
Please don't sue us, Vanilla Ice.
Or you know, two, he listens. He probably has like some sort of weird podcast search for his name.
I don't think
he would.
I think so. Are you asking me to explicitly type Vanilla Ice into the tags for this episode?
Absolutely, I am. In case he Googles himself,
he specifically can find us. All right, I'll do that.
Oh then. Yeah, just like maybe he'll retweet it.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
And then we have all of Vanilla Ice's fans, all 8 of them.
Yeah, but he went heavy metal, so they're hardcore fans now.
Wait, who has hardcore fans?
Didn't Vanilla Ice go heavy metal or something?
I don't know anything about Vanilla Ice.
I feel like he tried.
I think he's a home improvement show.
Vanilla Ice dropped off my pop culture radar after Ninja Turtles 2 Secret of the Ooze, a.k.a. the movie where there is no secret.
Well, that's because the script got cut to shreds. The secret was actually going to be that they were created by aliens by accident, and then they didn't do that at all.
Sky explains that story in real life once a week.
Because people don't know.
Even if someone hasn't brought it up.
Especially not. I just blurted out. I wake up saying it sometimes.
So how long have we been avoiding talking about this episode?
It happens every time.
It does.
Okay. It's the best part before we get to the episode.
It's true.
If there was ever a good one, we would probably jump right in, but that hasn't really been a thing yet. So no
in danger of running into a good one of these.
I guess, are you guys ready to just jump in then?
Yeah, because I have to start with a question, because I'm pretty sure this episode just starts with a sound effect, like a chicken squawk or a conk or a bonk or something. And we've complained a lot about all of the awful, awful sounds throughout this.
There's so many ox.
I have some thoughts about them too.
But did it have such awful sound effects at first? I don't remember being upset in the first
third of the show. Start with it. I felt they're probably like, you know what kids like is stupid sounds.
Yeah, like they got a soundboard like 3/4 of the way into filming, and or into editing, probably, And they just were squawking and bopping and baby crying their way through the rest of it.
Yeah, because it's pretty egregious throughout this whole thing.
It has been for the last, like, six episodes.
Yeah, but I don't know. This time it was noticeable as much as the time as I mentioned it the first time.
Yeah, but this because there was nothing going on. I stated
that sentence super awkwardly, but I'm going to leave it.
Good.
Yeah. You know, like, apparently I was reading up on the show and, like, it got canceled early. Can you imagine if, like, they had plans to go, like, 50 episodes with this shit?
I did some reading up today, too, because Sky was playing his D&D or whatever he does.
And his world's in peril.
Whatever.
James was there.
Oh, you were both doing it. Well, I was reading up on the show. I was doing some homework, and it was a Turtlepedia. It's a wiki about just turtles in general, but there's a section for this show, this awful show.
When you say turtles, do you mean like live action or
ninja
actual turtles or
Teenage Mutant Ninja?
Okay.
It's the not franchise. The website Donatello went to that one time.
Damn.
There were like some vague descriptions of season two, like Shredder would come back like you predicted.
Right.
Well,
they set it up so hard.
And some stuff would happen. But one of the things that was cited was that someone would die, probably Splinter. And that is not the tone of this show.
No,
at all.
Because he would die with a boink sound.
Yeah.
And then a chicken crying.
Yeah. How undignified for everyone.
Oh, goodness gracious. That, I'm real glad it got
there was like one point, and I'll point out there, I swear I heard the Windows 95 fanfare noise.
It probably happened.
Well, Donatello does smash a computer with his meat, his just giant green sausages.
It's not from that scene, surprisingly.
That is surprising.
It's not that surprising. Sky, we've done
you know
18
what,
of these.
You know, it's you know what it probably was is whoever was editing this, their computer had a malfunction and it just somehow got locked into the footage.
It turned on while they were recording babies crying and chickens squawking. All of those chicken squawks are live.
That would
you know who else squawks? Wick, and we open up with him making some soup, or like because the Dragon Lord has a headache.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, compelling.
It's such a weird thing to start us with. I mean, why not have him just, like, make me a potion to make me invincible or something?
Right?
But nope.
Yeah.
John Taffer has a headache, so his legless dragon buddy has to mix him up a potion.
Does everyone know who John Taffer is? Does everyone watch Bar Rescue like you and I do?
Probably not.
I always wonder that after we say it.
Google him.
John Taffer is the host of Bar Rescue. Google him. He doesn't have a ponytail, but he has the exact same front head hairline of the Dragon Lord.
Yeah.
And they look exactly the same in the face.
Yeah, I was gonna ask about why does the Dragon Lord always have hair? I mean, he's a dragon.
Yeah. Sometimes he has a hat though.
Sometimes he wears he's got like a pointier helmet that's sort of Shredder styled, but he's a dragon with hair because Chinese magic dragons have hair, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, in all my research, apparently the shinobi is just a Japanese word for ninja.
Oh.
It's not different than ninjas. And also it's Japanese, but Chun-Yi is Chinese.
Yep.
I think they're taking, there's a famous Chinese work, I think called like the I Ching, and I think that's what they use to make like her master's name.
They're just mispronouncing
it. Not to imply that it's deep or anything. They said, oh, we need a Chinese name. Let's just move this around. And then it sounds deep because it's a philosophical work.
Yeah.
That seems likely.
I can't believe it wasn't more racist.
It's probably like, people will call us on it if we call it Confucius. Let's use this more obscure thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Wick is making a potion, and I actually didn't rewatch this opening scene, because I wrote the line, split you like a scaly pineapple, which I assume the Dragon Lord is saying to Wick.
Yes, he threatens him with that.
Yeah, because he's taking too long,
and
his head hurts a bit, apparently. So Wick is just kind of futzing around, and he just dumps a whole bunch of crap in there?
Because he doesn't remember the recipe for his migraine potion.
Yeah, he lists a bunch, I didn't write him down, but he lists a bunch of, like, you know, gross ingredients.
Yeah.
Because
you know, everything's like bad guys gross. Do.
Well, yeah.
If you're a bad guy, you have to have gross stuff.
That's true.
And it starts glowing green a little bit, and Dragon Lord runs over and grabs a ladle and forces Wick to drink it first.
It's a very conveniently placed, like, high school kitchen ladle.
Yep.
Well, he's trying to make... He thinks Wick made something that's going to poison him, so he's going to make him drink it first because he wants to torture him.
it's very clearly, like, they just have a bunch of dry ice in this tub, so it's all
right,
smoky.
And there's no liquid. Oh, yeah.
There is no liquid in that ladle. There's no splash. There's nothing.
Yeah, I think I remember them, like, drawing some, like, After Effects on there to make it look like he's drinking something.
It's like, it's like colored green.
Super fake.
My biggest pet peeve in plays and in movies and TV is when people have an empty cup and it's really obvious because it's not that hard to fake drinking. And this is like that on like a grand scale.
Yeah. So suddenly develops a Cockney accent, and I initially wrote "get smarter," but like that's not correct at all based on what happens later in this episode.
I think he's able to make decisions, and that's what makes him seem smarter, because otherwise they're just completely unable to do things.
And yeah. I don't know that his decision making is improved. It's just that he has the power to enforce the decisions that he's made, right?
Yeah, that's what I meant to say.
Okay. I was making sure on the same page.
Yeah, Dragon Lord, he's just like, he goes to the other side of the tub, and Wick sits back up, and he's got this super deep Cockney accent, and then he can shoot lightning out of his eyes, and apparently he's leader now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that easy.
Yeah, and he steals Dragon Lord's magic, and Dragon Lord starts crying when just like, he's your big bad guy, why are you having him crying?
Yeah, well, he's kind of a little bitch through this whole thing.
Well, because his powers are gone.
Yeah, and then I think the theme song starts playing, and my, note for the theme song is, what the fuck is this theme song? No, really, what is it?
That's pretty much everyone's.
Yeah, because you guys mentioned that, like, the song you play is not the one that's on the Netflix one, but I was not prepared for that.
Yeah, it's just some gross techno garbage.
It sounds like someone said, like, oh, let's make a song that sounds like it'd be the Japanese opening for this show.
Yeah. And then they did
not one they would actually use in the air in Japan. Yeah.
Ugh. So... Yeah. We cut over to, when we come back from the credits, we have the establishing shot that we've actually had before, and Leonardo's reading a book.
Mm-hmm.
At first, I was real excited because it's a book about how to be a better leader, and he's realizing that he sucks at everything, I've been doing this all wrong, we need to be better organized, we need to do things better. And I was like, yes, finally, somebody said it in the story, in canon. They recognize that they're terrible.
Yeah.
And none of the other turtles want to go along with him.
Well, can you blame them?
No.
He quotes this book a lot, and it has weird wording, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we get back to the book? I was pausing through it and getting the cover, and it says, Leading Warriors, How to Crack the Whip. And it has, like, this guy dressed as a samurai on it. Like, obviously white guy. And also, I'm pretty certain it says at the top of it says, over 5 trillion copies sold, which is... That is nuts.
Yeah,
no book has sold like 5 trillion copies.
Like it kind of looks like they took a couple of different guys and then photoshopped them together into a samurai. It looks real.
It might have been trillion or billion, because there were like a lot of zeros at, and like that's way too many zeros for this book.
Leonardo's like, we need a battle cry, and then they all yell, "It's green time," because they have like 16 of them. And then he's like, "No, we just need to yell."
But they were clearly all on board that was the one. They didn't practice that.
Yeah,
so they already knew.
Why don't they say cowabunga? Do they not just not... Was that copyrighted? Or, like, were they not allowed to say that in this show?
I don't know.
It seems weird, just like, yeah, green time. This is a thing we always say.
By this point, it was May of 1998, so maybe it wasn't cool to say cowabunga.
It was too soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the rest of the turtles, they were all sitting around the table, but they weren't eating or doing anything, and then they all just get up and leave.
They never are doing anything.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Oh, you do miss in the groovy sound effect thing. Leo said they should do a more primal thing, and they play like some stock Tarzan yell that he's obviously not making.
Yeah,
before everyone gets up and leaves him,
they use that sound a lot in the show, but it's usually for the scene wipe with the turtles shell. But Leonardo promises that they're gonna do every exercise in the book, and then we cut over to the Dragon Church, where it's different now.
Because Wick's in charge.
Yeah. So he goes on the rank to the throne room, and they're just standing there, and he yells at them that he's in charge now.
No. You're skipping the best part. Dragon Lord is carrying Wick on a pillow so they can move him around but still have like him be a puppet.
This is why we need an outside person, because we've become too accustomed to this show and its weird grossness. Like, we just took that as whatever. He's on a pillow. You need a third, fresh set of eyes every now and then to be like, no, shut up, idiots. This is wrong.
Yeah. How everyone used to make fun of him and call him Tricky Wicky, which, is that a name they actually used in the show?
No.
Before this?
It's hilarious.
But okay. It rhymes.
And then he says that everyone is going to start calling the Dragon Lord Weenie,
which is also pretty funny.
This is a show for babies. there is a shoulder that sticks up for the Dragon Lord saying, "Oh, I'll never call him a Weenie."
It was and the so, Lieutenant Wick Purple Hood.
Yeah,
nobody has names, so Purple Hood steps up. No, he's my Lord and Master. I'm not going to call him Weenie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know how you said no one has names and they just call him Dragon Lord?
Yeah.
In my research. I read a lot of this wiki earlier.
You did.
They had, like, a passage from the Ninja Turtles website at the time, mm-hmm. and it's the Dragon Lord introducing himself, and he refers to himself as Dragon Skull, the Dragon Lord.
That's so much worse than just Dragon Lord.
Sure is.
Yeah. Who would have thought?
That's so redundant. Why would you...
Yep.
Why not say it in Chinese or Japanese or something?
No.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Oh, so, and then the soldier, of course, gets zapped by Wick, and like everyone's just like, "Yeah, Weenie."
Yeah, but it's a different effect. Like instead of electricity, he shoots him like blaster bolt. Oh no, this one's electricity.
Yeah,
this one's electricity. They're very inconsistent about what Wick's powers are, shockingly.
Yeah,
and how powerful.
It. And I love this shot right after he zaps the guy because you get a shot of him and Dragon Lord from the waist up, and it looks like he's a puppet and Dragon Lord is controlling him because he's standing there straight-faced as if he's a ventriloquist while Wick is moving around a lot. It's exactly what's happening, I'm sure of it, but they didn't mean it to look that way.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what's more awkward. Someone being underneath Dragon Lord having his hand up, or like the person playing Dragon Lord also having to manipulate the Wick puppet.
You never see that other arm in that shot, so I'm pretty sure Dragon Lord is operating Wick at that time.
It's like how Big Bird's left arm doesn't work.
Yeah.
Except it's Big Bird's right arm. I'm sorry, that one doesn't work.
One of them's the end. Everybody accepts Dragon Lord, or not Dragon Lord, everybody accepts Wick as the new leader.
Mm-hmm.
And we cut back to the lair. Where there's a giant spider pinata / stuffed animal.
Yeah, I wrote, Leo is making a Mikey fight a Halloween decoration blindfolded.
Yep.
Which, this book, the book says that, oh, fuck, what's it say? Hold on, I'm gonna go back.
I wrote it down.
Okay.
He says, the only thing a warrior loses from failure is that he's a big loser.
Right, that's terrible guidance, right?
Yes. Yeah, that is terrible.
Okay,
because that doesn't
impart any
information.
Mikey says that their weapon skills are good enough, which I think this show has demonstrated that is not to be the case. But then Leo pulls another quote that says, "Good enough is the motto of the wimp." So this is a bad book.
That book says the word wimp.
Like, yeah, clearly.
Yes.
But Michelangelo has Tonfa, so you need to get real close to use them. And he's dangling the spider, I don't know, 8 feet up, and Michelangelo can't hit it because he's blindfolded. Also, that all makes perfect sense to me.
Also, clearly Leonardo hasn't been paying attention. They only fight with chairs and garbage.
Yeah. Yeah, Raph also gives a sick burn in this point. He says, like, what does that book say about pig-headed turtles that read stupid books?
And Splinter's just sitting on the fucking couch letting all this nonsense happen.
That's because he's drunk as fuck. He tries to get up to get another beer.
I think that's where I wrote down, like, wow, that Splinter costume is really bad.
The best part is him trying to get around the Leonardo guy, like the Leonardo puppet, and he's, like, struggling to inch by him, make it look natural.
And there's a huge problem, because it looks as though Splinter's blind, because he never at any point looks at Leonardo, but he's just kind of moving around him and trying to talk to
him. Do you think the guy in that suit can see?
Not at all. So, in a very real sense, he was blind. But it's so awkward, and then Splinter offers no real advice other than, like, hey, you're pushing them too hard, and they're going to resist because of that, and then he just goes to have another beer or whatever.
Yeah, his quote, which almost sounds like, it half sounds like good advice, is, pushing for improvement without regard for the feelings of others will only make your trainees feel undervalued, which actually sounds like something out of a corporate handbook more than, like, you know, Zen philosophy. Like, I had a job that made me read Where's My Cheese, and that sounds like something out of that.
So we cut back to the Dragon Church, where Wick is sitting atop the throne, but not in the throne. He's got his pillow perched on the, like, the back of the chair.
Yeah, because they didn't want to cut a hole in that throne.
Yeah. Because the Wick puppet has a big old tail.
Yeah, they have one chair prop. They can't damage that.
They have a second season to shoot. Oh, wait.
Oh, buddy. But Dragon Lord has fully accepted his role as the servant.
I don't know if he's accepted it. He's just going with it.
Or has
he's still on his knees at the seat of, or at the foot of Wick's
no, throne. No, no, because this is the first one where he, like, where Wick demands a throne and, like, oh, here's your throne. And then suddenly yeah. all, like, Rank come up with, like, a giant cartoon cannon and point it at Wick.
Yeah, like, and then Wick shoots it with some Cyclops-style eye blast yeah. and it flips over.
Yeah.
Because not only does he have...
from last time.
He, not only does he have Cyclops' shooting powers, he has his good geometry skills as well.
No, that'll mm-hmm. come up later.
Oh.
But he does. He shoots the cannon, and it flips over and shoots all of the Rank that brought it up. But it only mm-hmm. seems to be full of, like, confetti.
Yeah.
Because none of them died either, so it would not have killed Wick.
There's a lot of old circus warehouses around, so it's probably from that.
So Dragon Lord plotted this, where he was going to have the Rank come up and attempt to assassinate Wick, but then he also got a throne
he got
for
a
Wick,
B.
just in case it didn't go through. So
well, you say throne, but it's well, more of a porcelain throne, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I actually did appreciate that they got him a toilet, and that they like seem to have just stolen it from a house, like cut the wall out from around it. That actually is a little funny to me.
Yeah, he gets into it and, of course, unironically loves it. Oh, this is perfect. And I yeah. sent a, before we sent a, started recording, I sent Sky a screen cap of the picture of, like, Wick sticking his head up the toilet and just like, this is a metaphor for the show.
Yeah, except in that picture, there's probably toilet paper that you can at least clean yourself off with. With the show, there's nothing like that.
No, you just have a beer and forget.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, instead of sitting on it, Wick crawls out of it, because reasons.
And a toilet is so suited for a puppet, like for yeah, a man to be underneath with
true.
His hand through it.
Especially with the wall built, or yeah. there's still a wall attached to it, but whatever. And then Wick says, I feel flushed, and then...
Of course he does.
And then he threatens to put a little bell on the little handle on the toilet,
yeah,
so that he can call yeah. a weenie.
Yeah. The dragon weenie.
Dragon weenie.
It's such a dumb thing.
But they stick with it.
Yeah,
they
do. Commit. I will say that. So Wick's just like, yeah, gather the Rank. We're going to invade the sewers and we're going to eat some turtles. Well, mm-hmm. I'm going to eat turtles. Dragon Lord, you don't get to eat any. Why does Wick care? Like, you've got all... You know what? Whatever.
Well, yeah. I mean, Dragon Lord has power, but he wants more power because he thinks the turtles will give him more power because they're mutagenic
yeah.
blood.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Wick wants to eat the turtles just like the Dragon Lord does, which...
Where did Dragon Lord's powers go? Did they go into Wick?
No, he just
yeah,
shot
yeah, he
them out.
Yeah, he absorbed them earlier.
Did he? Okay, because it was unclear. And I have mixed... you both disagree, so I don't know where we land. I'm going to flip a coin.
I have an important question when we get to the end of this episode, because I forgot that he stole them at the top of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, we cut back to the sewer where there's like, Donnie has like random junk on his screen and he's working on his computer.
It's the Matrix code and that's always there.
He says, we have trouble.
Leonardo asks, what flavor? Which is a weird
hot.
Way to continue that questioning.
And yet Donnie responds, hot, jalapeno hot.
Because why not lean into it?
There's a lot of inside jokes between these turtles that we're not privy to.
Which is the best way to run a television program.
It's a deep mythology to this show that we're only scratching the surface of.
Yeah, there's no sexual tension between Leonardo and Raphael this one.
I know.
Which is it's funny when you think there would be like more because they're in kind of conflict because Raph thinks like Leo's stupid with his plans.
Yeah, but nope, not at all. But they discovered that the Rank are invading the sewers, so they decide to go after it. They do not take Venus with them when they leave. And Leonardo is despondent and brings his sword sadly.
Yeah, he tries to give a plan, but Ralph cuts him off for being pushy and says, we're going to show the Rank what turtification is all about, which is just like, did you
yeah.
mean to say that? I don't know if that means what you think it does.
That is exactly what plan A always is just go and punch them. You guys
yeah.
have no
also,
deeper plan.
Important question. I was watching with the Netflix subtitles on. Mm-hmm. The Rank, is it just spelled like... R-A-N-K?
Sometimes.
Is it special? At least in this episode, they never capitalize it, so it sounds like, you know, the Rank and File are coming to get to us. It just, like, takes all the mysticism out of it. Not that
yeah.
there was much to begin with.
I'm gonna go ahead and say that Netflix was like, you know what, we don't need to try that hard with this.
Oh, they definitely don't. There's one point where they just, like, no-sell a Venus line. I'll point out when we get there.
Dragon Lord is still carrying Wick. The Lieutenant is up in front with a feathered like fan
yeah
because he wants those sewer fumes wafted directly in his face and
yes.
the turtles find them immediately and then they do this bit where Michelangelo comes out He's like doing a game show thing, and Venus is Vanna White and tells them what they've won: a shell full of pain and an all expense trip paid to the hospital. Then Raphael and Donatello pop out. Raphael continues the bit a little bit, and then Donatello just yells Shellquake, and then the fight commences.
Raphael says, "I'll take pain for 300. Just like, that's not how you play Jeopardy. Go for the high values. Come on, Raph.
He knows how good he is at
things. Also, it seems weird when, like, Venus's, like, main character to the trade is, like, doesn't get, like, you know, metaphors and stuff. That she is very, like, she does a perfect, like a Jeopardy bit.
That is absolutely true. I thought the same thing.
That's how she learned English. She watched a lot of game shows.
Okay.
That's how I'm learning Japanese. It's not.
Is it from Power Rangers?
No, it's from Super Sentai.
Oh, sorry. I don't speak that.
Of course. God, Japanese, Jake.
Yeah. Do I. So, right after they initiate the fight, there's this...
There's an awkward cut.
A weird cut.
Like a time jump.
Yeah, and then Raph and Donatello are just covered in, like, 30 rank. And it's like, this is not going well for you guys.
But Leonardo's just watching?
Yep.
Yeah.
Just off to the side, hanging out. And, like, why aren't you doing anything?
Because he has to talk to Wick.
So much dumb sound effects.
Yeah.
So much dumb sound effects.
And, like, Venus and Michelangelo are also just watching Raph and Donatello get kicked the crap out of. And then Wick starts shooting eye blasts. Here is my major problem with Wick's newfound powers. If your ability is to shoot magic out of your eyes, how are you not shooting what you're looking at? Like, it's going in a straight line from your eye to your target. How do you fuck up that bad? Because none of the turtles get hit for the first, like, 30 shots.
Though it does cause them to scatter, and they show a shot where, like, it looks like Raph lands on his head, which just, like, oh no.
He does. The actor definitely got hurt. That's why they had to use that shot.
Couldn't do it again. Mitchell had to go home for the day.
But yeah, so there's, like, a giant mattress that apparently these deadly eye blasts can't shoot through. They all duck behind it. One of the rank does get hit and stumbles back a little bit, but he seems fine.
Well, Wick says, "I never liked him anyway." That implies that he's dead.
It does imply that.
No one else dies.
The actor did not fall down.
No. I mean, maybe
they
cut away.
Rank die, and they die upstanding.
Or maybe they just cut away before he stumbled far enough to fall. But no one else dies when they get hit. One of the turtles gets hit later.
Oh, yeah.
And but they have a shell on their front, so.
But he's part dragon. Why would dragon magic hurt him?
I mean, human bullets will kill you.
Don't know. But yeah.
Fair point. Fair point, Solid.
I initially thought this was like Leo trying to make a plan, and people ignore him. But Donnie says, like, oh, has a plan, like, hey, it's coming from his eyes. We should hold his eyes shut, which seems like a terrible idea.
Well, that's how you take out
Cyclops. But it works.
Also, if you're close enough to hold his eyes shut, just snap his fucking neck.
Yep, there is that. But Raphael decides, I'm going to go do that, and then he hops over, and then he gets shot.
No, Donnie gets shot.
No, he gets shot, too. Donatello goes up to help as well.
Oh,
he gets shot, and then he falls down, and Leonardo drags him back like he's a Marine, not leaving a man behind.
Yeah, there's, like, no consequences of that, really.
And then Leonardo just runs over. He does, you mess with the bull, and you get the horns, and then he puts his hands next to his head and makes bull horns. All the while, Wick is watching him do it. It's like, dude, use your laser blast eyes and kill him.
Now, we made fun of his new voice, but could you imagine how much worse this would be with his old voice? Just screeching over the top of all of this nonsense.
It's true. I do very much appreciate the cockney accent over the just wretched voice that Wick normally has. But Leonardo just runs right over and puts his hands over his eyes and everything's cool. And then Raphael comes over and helps. And, they take Wick from Dragonlord. Dragonlord doesn't give it two shits about nothing. And then they clothesline some rank with him, and then they just throw him back. Hey, guys!
No!
Remember how he shot you a bunch? Fucking kill him or something!
No, they don't just throw him back. They do a football bit, like, downset hike, throw. Dragonlord catches, and it's like, sweet interception! Which is just like...
It wasn't an interception, you threw him directly to him!
Also, you don't come. What are you doing? An interception.
Everyone is green. It's dark down in the sewer.
It's their natural environment, though.
You guys also didn't mention how unsettlingly lifeless the puppet is as it's getting thrown around.
No one's got his hand up his ass.
Yeah.
They do ADR, so he's, like, talking while it's happening, but he can't do anything. Do you think they have the budget to spring for a motorized puppet?
No.
They used up all the budget on that gorilla costume last time.
They stuffed the puppet with newspaper and tossed it around.
They had to buy a Hummer.
Well,
$97, they had to buy a Hummer. At that time, it was just Dennis Rodman who had one. Mm-hmm. So, they throw Wick back, and then he prepares to murder them again. And then Venus pops over and throws magic or one of her armored beads at him. I don't really know what it was.
It was sparkly.
It was sparkly. Then we don't see what happened afterwards. And then, as the turtles escape, I see Michelangelo and then realize he was absent for the entire fight. Mm-hmm. Like, at no point Michelangelo contributed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you for...
Yeah, he was absent.
Yeah, mm-hmm. What a dick.
Yeah, but then they leave the scene with that oh wacky Venus getting things wrong by saying, "Let's snook."
Usually she gets them wrong and, like, says a wrong real word.
Yep.
This one's
not a word she made up.
Yeah.
Well, she learned her English from game shows, so maybe that's just a thing in one of the game shows she watched.
I don't know. But yeah, that's actually the one where the Netflix captioners don't catch on, so she says, "Let's book," and then, like, one of them corrects and says, "You mean let's book."
It's hard.
Could you imagine being the Netflix, like, captioner who had to sit and type this up?
Yeah, he didn't give a shit, so he's like, what, fuck this noise.
I thought it was just robots, but they actually, like, credit a corporation at the end, like, "Oh, someone had to watch this and, like, write it this up." Like, I can't imagine having to, like, watch all sorts of, like, bad shit on Netflix to have to write up, like, closed captions.
Like, I'm sure, like, newer shows probably, like, they send a script, but a show like this, probably no one saved that script. It's not digitalized in an archive somewhere.
They probably X'd out the one side and then reprinted a new script on the back.
Yeah, reuse it.
I refuse to believe some of this dialogue was scripted. Like, some of them they just, like, said, like, told them to improv and, like, they created. I feel that explains a lot about this show, if they just made up most of their dialogue.
Yeah.
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 Or a sixth grader made up most of their dialogue.
So, we cut back to the lair, and the turtles are all limping and groaning and splayed about the lair because none of them have rooms or beds.
But once again, they won, right?
I mean, they didn't lose.
They decisively won. They tossed Wick, like, the super-powered Wick around like a football.
Very literally, and they're talking about, like,
"Oh, how could we survive? We barely survived this."
They could have just killed him while they had him. It would have been over.
Yeah, or gouged his eyes. Something.
Like, I could have forgiven it if, like, Donatello was like, you know, like, "Oh no, I got really blasted in the middle," and, like, that was Leo saying, "Oh no, if we'd let this better, it could have, you know, we could have avoided this." But they're just all generically like, "Ow, we're hurt," and, like, holding ice bags. So it's unconvincingly.
They look like elderly people who just been jogging. Their knees and their joints all hurt.
Venus seems to be fine. She's just wandering around handing out ice packs and shit and trying to give him a pep talk.
I know we're leading into, like, one of Sky's favorite bits where Raph turns it down. He says, "Hey, what's the scientific explanation for shooting eye beams?" And he says, "Well, there's no scientific reason for him shooting eye beams." And then asks Venus what she thinks.
And she says, "It was magic, probably."
Yeah, and then he, of course, rolls like, "Oh, how could you even suggest magic?" When he literally said there was no scientific explanation for this.
And, like Sky has pointed out time and time again, they've seen magic happen in front of them repeatedly.
He developed a Cockney accent. You can't just do that.
No.
That's gotta be magic.
It's just so frustrating. He's just like, "There's no scientific explanation." So it's like, "Well, maybe it's magic." Magic?
You're an idiot. Get off the team.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. They don't want to pick a lane or a side or make any decisions, really. Yeah. Also, I would like to applaud us each for resisting the temptation to do the Cockney accent, because it was real strong earlier.
Oh, don't think I haven't thought about it.
I say dive in.
I'm just going to read all of Wick's lines in his old voice.
I'm like this!
Yeah.
Constant and terrible. It's the fucking worst, guys.
Really, I didn't write a lot of, like, Wick-specific lines, because it's mostly just, like, he'll say something dumb and, like, you know, "I feel flushed." It's like, well, that's not really quotable. It's just dumb and stupid. I guess, like, Splinter tries to give him a pep talk and tell him his pride gets in the way, which, I don't know if that actually relates to what's going on.
That's not really what happened at all, because nobody they weren't listening to him, sure, but like he also wasn't asserting himself very
right.
well.
Right. Yeah. Did he give any real orders?
No. I mean, they cut him off, sure.
He's most.
But like, be a grown up about it. Just like, tell them to do things. They'll listen to you because that's the dynamic you have. Sort of. What I love a lot about most of the Ninja Turtles is Leonardo doesn't usually state, I'm the leader. He's just kind of the de facto leader.
Yeah.
They just do what he says because he's the one giving orders. And here, he's very much, like, I'm the leader, listen to me, because I'm the leader! Hey, no wonder they're not listening to you, you asshole.
So in a weird bit of parallel, like, you know, it was a weird parallel plot point, which I'm sure was by accident. Wick is lecturing how they lost because they didn't work together as a team.
The rank don't ever do that, though. I guess at first they were... Oh, but we get an establishing shot of, like, a cigar shop that's nearby the Dragon Church for some reason. But, like, Wick is blaming everything
on the rank.
Do they
just use this... Do they just use the same, like, New York City establishing shots every episode?
Kinda. It depends. Like, they show the same sewer grate sometimes, but, like, different businesses around the area change in and out. Sometimes it's the police station for no reason.
I wonder how many of these places still exist in New York.
Maybe the police station.
But I bet it doesn't have that dumb sign.
Maybe.
Or the Batman and Robin billboard behind it.
I forgot to look for the Batman around.
I choose to believe it's still there.
I hope so.
So, but when we get to the Dragon Church, like, Wick is sitting on the toilet just plunging it or churning butter? I don't know what the hell's happening.
I'll tell you exactly what's happening. It's in front of him. It's in front of him on the floor. And because it's not the usual way they puppeteer him, they need a way for his hands to move. So from off screen, after they've established that he's holding onto that stick, they can move the stick around and make him look more alive. It's puppeting 101, Sky.
Sorry.
I would love it if you guys could get someone who had, like, an actual knowledge of puppetry and critique the Wick puppet.
We have an amateur right here.
Yeah. I've made a fair set of puppets. Oh. I mean, it's not a bad puppet.
It's just puppeteered very poorly.
It's not puppeteered by someone who is a puppeteer.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah, and it's weird. Like, we can get into it when we get to the end of it, but I looked up, like, the actual puppeteers, and some of them actually have, like, well, one of them at least has gone to actually have a career in the industry, so believe it or not.
Everybody else has faded into obscurity.
Everyone else, not so much.
But yeah.
Who would have thought the show was also gives a career killer?
Mm-hmm. Sorry. He also gives his new plan to attack the turtles, which is to do a full frontal assault, which I think is the same plan that they always do.
That is the exact plan that they just did. That did have a little bit of success, I guess. And Wick is not letting up on the weenie thing.
Yeah.
Which I applaud him for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's also decorated that toilet.
Yeah, he did. Oh. He added some very, very tasteful skull chalices with grapes in them.
Yes.
It's very Martha Stewart chic. It's great.
He also says he's the super dragon now for some reason.
Well, he is the super dragon.
Are you going to tell him no? He's going to eye blast you in the face. With lightning or laser bolts.
There's ever an eye blasting dragon sitting on a toilet. I'm not going to argue with it.
Especially if he speaks to me in a Cockney accent.
Mm-hmm. I could almost. He also says defeat is not in his vocabulary, which I can almost believe is true.
I don't know. They failed a lot. They've been defeated every time so far. But whatever, it's fine. So we cut back, and we are back in the lair, where Donatello says that Wick is unbeatable when Leonardo and Raphael literally threw him like a football and could have killed him and chose not to.
Also, how many other of their villains have they said are unbeatable?
I want to say most.
Yeah.
If not all. Everybody is... they want to go do something, but they don't know what to do. Venus goes over to talk to Leonardo, who is just sitting and moping and spinning his sword on its point, which is terrible for your sword, dude!
Yeah!
But he doesn't care. Why would he? And he has realized that following this book was a bad choice, and he's reading a stupid book, blah, blah, blah. So he's decided to just ignore it from here on out. Venus tells him, look, you can get ideas from books, that's fine. Just, like, use your best judgment when you apply that shit.
Which I guess is probably a real lesson.
That is the best advice this show has ever given anyone.
Yeah, it is. But she I'm going to say, correct you, she specifically says, the knowledge of the universe must be tempered by your personal experiences, because there will be a callback to that line later on. in someone actually trying to write something.
I hate Leonardo's sword so much. I hate it. I hate it so much.
Yeah, it's not a katana. It looks like it's a weird straight sword. It looks like I've seen like looks like more like a gladius, to be quite honest, than like any like Chinese or like Japanese sword,
or like a Roman like centurion kind of sword. It's or He-Man should be using that shit.
You got a couple fucking sword nerds, aren't you?
Yeah, you've known that about me.
About you, but I didn't know there are others.
Look, I mainly know what the word for gladius because it's an item from D&D, and they accidentally misspelled it to create Gradius, the side-scrolling shooter series.
Ah, you're not really taking away from your nerd cred, bro.
Yeah, but it's sword nerdy.
I want to establish I'm the specific kind of nerd I'm in.
I don't know shit about swords,
but you know which end to hold.
Sometimes.
Really, you also know to probably don't just like try to spin them.
Yeah. Not on the ground, anyway.
I'm not allowed to touch Sky's swords for that very reason.
That is accurate.
And to be specific, we say spin, we don't mean like, you know, twirling around your wrist like they'll do in movies. We mean like you spinning it like a top on its tip.
Yep.
Yeah, that is so bad for the tip of anything that's sharp, really.
I mean, he never uses it to fight. He just carries it around. I
guess that's fair.
He chopped lettuce with it once off screen.
Yeah, and he separated it down the middle that one time.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing it can do.
Because it's also scissors. What's that called? Sword nerds?
I don't know.
I think it's just called scissors.
Yeah, oh yeah, it has a name.
And then the alarms go off.
Oh yeah, yeah. The everything's not okay alarm. The rank are flooding the sewers again, even though there's only like 20 of them total. And their plan is to go and lead them to a different sector, which I thought meant they would use the sewer that they know by heart, I'm sure, to go and get behind them and lead them in the different direction. Nope, I was wrong. What it means is they get in the fucking cars and drive somewhere.
To go back to the sewer.
Yep. They leave the sewer to come in from a different angle, I guess.
Yeah, that was the first time I saw, like, the long... And, like, that logic sequence goes on way too long. It's so not long. As cool as they think it is, either.
No.
But it does pad out the time a good amount, so they don't have to come up with, like, 2 minutes worth of material.
This is like the especially long one too. Yeah.
There is the three switches he flips and fire shoots out, and we get the full Splinter left behind yelling. Thing where he's yelling at them. This time it's not please Jesus be quiet. It's God. Why don't you assholes use bicycles? They don't stink as bad.
That seems way more unsettling if those monsters came out of the sewer on a bicycle.
It would be hilarious.
Yeah, weirdly this gag reminds me of the gag they would do for Samurai Pizza Cats, where they'd be like. They do the whole complicated launch sequence that is actually good because it's like someone else did the animation and Saban didn't. And then we have people like watching and making comments as they get launched out of the thing. Mm-hmm. But again, also actually funny and like well animated.
Yeah.
So it's not at all not like this at all.
The turtles drive somewhere and leave the cars and then re-enter the sewer and immediately find the dragons who aren't walking anymore but waiting for them.
Next to a pile of garbage so that Wick has something to hide behind and on.
And then there's a very long scene that I was very confused by where the turtles say that they're screwed, basically.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And then there's like, yeah, but we're not.
Sorry, I think Leo says, the plan is I have no plan. We're just going on instinct.
Yeah, and then everybody's like, that's a bad plan. And then they do it anyway. And then... After everybody goes to attack, Raphael says, "Kiss my shell," and then does a kick. It's super weird, and I feel like it was ad-libbed, and it didn't really fit with the rest of it, but whatever, it's fine.
There's also, like, a gunshot sound effect when he does, like his front kick, which seems really weird.
Yeah, not for this show. But, yeah, so the fight commences, and it's cut a lot, and there's... I don't know what's happening. And...
Scott, you could literally take... the audio of you talking about every other fight and just insert it right here.
Yeah.
Because they're all choreographed poorly and cut quickly.
Yep.
It's terrible.
Yep. Eventually, Leonardo gets kicked in front of Wick, who has decided to not use his eye blasts until now. And he yells at Leonardo to feel the wrath of King Wick! And he shoots him in the chest.
Cockney accents.
Yeah, whatever. It's close enough. That's how I hear it. And then Leonardo realizes that his sword is reflective and starts pulling some Return of the Jedi shit and is just reflecting laser blasts off his sword. And eventually,
I was going to go with Legend of Zelda, but same effect.
Well, it just reminded me of when Luke fell off the speeder bike and is standing in front and he's just deflects the first couple and then manages to hit the oncoming scout trooper.
Yeah.
I remembered what they're called, Jig.
Good job. I didn't have to yell at you.
So, Wick gets hit by the blast, and then he starts getting electrocuted by magic, and lightning shoots out his eyes, and apparently he's losing his power. And luckily, Dragonlord decides to narrate.
Yeah, he says, specifically he says, the surest way to lose one's power is to have it used against you.
But yeah, apparently that's a thing I should know.
Okay.
And then,
like, I guess maybe everybody else stops fighting. The past, so.
And and then the Dragonlord's like, yeah, we're just gonna leave, if that's cool with everyone. And it is. And then Donatello runs over and touches Venus's boob.
Very briefly. I saw it.
Yep. If, the first time watching this through, so today was my first time watching it, and I was like, did I see what I thought I just saw? So I rewatched it, and sure enough, the suit actor definitely touches that turtle boob. So, last episode, if you recall, I said that the animosity between the two was probably going to be meaningless, and in this one, they would be best friends. I was incorrect. They are lovers.
Now, we put bets on who would get to finger Venus first, and no one voted for Donatello.
No.
So no one wins.
I missed that poll.
Yep. So I guess that pool has to go to charity after all. The turtle charity.
Oh. And,
for turtles.
And then, like, the one part that may have actually been written is Venus asked Leo, was like, was that a lesson in your book? It's like, no, I was drawing from my own personal experience. Ooh, bringing that shit full circle.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just focusing on Donatello touching her boob. It's so, like, it was clear, it's probably an accident.
It was clearly an accident.
Well.
But this is the most action you've seen in quite some time.
They could not see shit in those things, I'm guessing.
No.
No.
But, like, the eyes will be focusing downward, and he probably saw what he was doing. Or not, I don't know. It's just, there's so much emphasis in this show, our show specifically. About the turtle boobs, I just wanted
just the sexuality of the turtles wanted it all to around.
Give that moment a moment to breathe. So Dragonlord is basically done. Even though he has an opportunity to attack the turtles, he decides that they're done, and he's going to go and take Wick home and torture him.
Well, because he doesn't have his powers right now, so
I guess
That's actually.
I don't know if he gets them back. Like, he doesn't say he does.
Yeah, he doesn't. I forgot that Wick stole his powers at the beginning. I was going back over this episode, and are his powers gone forever?
But he says, "Whip up a batch of your power." Those
were Dragon Lord's powers. Can you shoot how to do it?
Because it was an accident. It was like the Flash getting his powers, or one of the Flashes getting his powers,
something like that.
But yeah, so they leave, and then Venus is like, "I think we got our leader back." And it's like you guys just weren't listening to him. He didn't stop being the leader. You were just jerks. Everyone here was a jerk, except Venus.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have two more dumb turtles lines where... I want to guess this is like rapper Mike Hughes says. It says, Ninja Fool, we survive again. And that's when they play the Windows 95 fanfare.
Yeah. And then Leonardo says, sometimes you just need to reflect or something.
Yeah.
While looking at his shiny sword.
Get it?
And then someone else says, Bionic Smooth-a-phonic.
Which is the fucking worst.
Yes.
If you're going to make up stuff, try a little harder.
It sounds like an off-brand Walkman.
I hate this show. The show makes me hate Ninja Turtles.
Well, good news. We still have 8 more weeks of our life to do this. You're done.
It's true. Oh, we also get a final scene with Wick. Hilariously, he can't remember the recipe and gets a bunch of swords pointed at him.
Yeah, because... The Dragon Lord's threatening to kill him, like he does all the time. And he's got the ladle in one hand and the stirring stick in the other, and he's just whipping it around. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing, and he's gonna die, you'd think.
Yeah, he lists gross ingredients again, because haha.
And then Dragon Lord calls him Tricky Wicky, just to add some salt to the wound. And the show ends.
Hilarious.
Yeah. So, I was curious who actually maintained the Wick puppet. I felt like this was like a good time to like review that since this is a major Wick says. And look, it looks like he was puppeted by two people, like Adam Beer and Bill Tazarikas. One of them actually went on to have like a career and has worked on special effects makeup for like The Flash and Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, really?
And stuff.
Those shows are okay.
One of them, his most significant credit was Stargate SG-1. That's about it.
Did he do Teal'c's forehead thing?
I don't know specifically. It says, like, animatronic puppeteer, prosthetic engineer, so probably something like that. Yeah, Adam Beer was the one who did SG-1, and Bill Tazirkas is the one who, like, went on and actually had a career. I mean, for not... Yeah.
He probably did not list this on his resume.
No. I was just looking up Dragon Lord's voice, because it sounded a lot like Tony J. Like, oh no, Tony J, are you slumming it in this show? And apparently his Christopher Gaze, who's a similar kind of, he's another one of those, like, classically trained Shakespearean, like, British actors who then does a bunch of cartoon voices.
Ah. Well, that's the dream, isn't it?
Yeah. His most significant credit to me is he voiced the diagnostic drones from Beast Machines.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Man, I loved Beast Wars. I could not get into Beast Machines.
Yeah, that's pretty normal.
Yeah. Rattrap didn't even have a weapon. He just had a tail. That was dumb.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? He was a demolition expert. Why would you just give him wheels and a tail that can hack shit? Ah. Sorry. That's a different thing. Yes. So yeah, so that's the episode.
Sure was. Mm-hmm.
James, what would you say is the most turtle-rific part of this episode?
This is the worst part of the episode, just... Sorry. I forgot to warn you. I mean, the worst part of our episode, not the...
The worst part of this episode was Leonardo quoting some really bad slogans and making Mikey fight a Halloween decoration.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the turtle boob touching is the most turtle-rific part, as far as I'm concerned.
that kind of is.
It's as turtle-rific as it gets.
I've been waiting 18 weeks of my life for this moment.
It finally happened.
I've been waiting since May?
Can you imagine if that turtle boob touching was someone's sexual awakening as a kid?
It was Skye's just now, today. He became a man. I have to throw him a bar mitzvah.
Muscle tough. Oh.
Congratulations, then.
Well, thank you. Christ. I would say the most turtle-rific part is how done Splinter is with all of this. I don't know if it's the actor or the writers or what, but Splinter is just 100%. You know what? You guys figure it out. I'm not doing this.
We already figured him out. He's a drunk.
Yeah, so he goes and has a beer, and everybody else does whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe he knew they were going to kill him off if the show ran longer and he didn't care.
That's it.
Oh, man.
So the next episode is called The Good Dragon. Mm-hmm. And in the little...
Is it anything like The Good Wife?
It is. It's the exact same. Cool. In the thumbnail, it's a picture of Raphael being tied up by the purple-hooded lieutenant, I believe. And he's being tied up in Garland. And
is this the Christmas episode?
That's what I was gonna say. He's tied up with garland and Christmas lights. If this is not a very special Christmas episode, I'm gonna be so pissed. Especially because I looked up the date it came out, and it was May of 1998. So I hope that it is the Christmas episode, because of course this show's Christmas episode would come out in the beginning of summer.
Yeah, that fits.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm real excited for next week.
That's what started my spiral down the Turtlepedia, was me trying to find out if it was a special Christmas episode.
Excellent.
If it's the Christmas episode, next week will be my favorite episode of all of them.
It's not a high bar to clear, man.
I know, but I love Christmas episodes of things.
That's true, and then you can add it to your Christmas rotation.
Yeah, probably not.
So,
I wonder if it's on... There's a site that I know that's like, I think it's called called Cartoon Christmas, where it like tries to review every single like Christmas special, like either like standalone special, like Christmas episode of a cartoon. And it's like has like a whole like couple years worth of material. It's pretty extensive. I wonder that's if that's, awesome. This one is up there. Well,
what is it called?
I don't know cartoon if that episode's on there. Yeah.
I'm going to check this shit out.
Somebody who super loves Christmas.
It's me.
I feel like I had more questions to ask, but I don't remember.
Sorry, I derailed it with a Christmas talk.
It's fine.
Yeah.
So, James, thank you very much for being here. It was a lot of fun having you.
You're welcome. It was a fun time talking about this garbage TV show.
Yeah. It's always a good time to have a third person to keep us on track.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So, why don't you tell the listeners where they can find you on the internets?
You can Yeah, you can find me online at Discord_Inc. That is my Twitter, Instagram, and a bunch of other handles. I also have my own podcast called The Axelon Archives, where I go review every episode of Beast Wars, which is a good show from this era.
It was.
Man, that show was great.
It is. I'm still at the beginning, so still a lot of the early episodes. We're getting to the one where Terrasaur gets powered up and takes control of the Decepticons for a bit.
Oh man, I remember
being a fun episode
where he's basically Starscream, but a pterodactyl, and he betrays Megatron.
Yeah,
that one's great.
And then he gets possessed by actual Starscream later in the show, which is nuts.
I need to rewatch that.
The show's great.
Yeah,
my favorite Transformer from there was probably Tigertron, because he was great, and then Dinobot was pretty great too.
You do love that sensitive, quiet one. I like the Rhino and the Rat.
Rhinox and Rattrap.
Yeah, the Rhino and the Rat.
Get it together.
I know which one's which.
Yeah, yeah. Scott McNeil, who is a voice in the show? I forget who though.
Is it Bone Steel?
I think it's Bone Steel. Fucking Bone Steel is the worst.
I'm glad I didn't get to see him in this episode. Instead, I got a ton of Wick.
Because it's terrible.
I actually thought he was a suit actor when you said Simon Bonesteel. Because, he's got to be a cyborg guy. I'm like, no, he's a hunter.
Yeah, he's just a guy with a single dreadlock.
And Einstein hair. And a series of just ridiculous faces.
This fucking show.
Yep. We say that every week.
We should have just called the podcast This Fucking Show.
Harder to market.
Yeah, and you can't just get the despair across that you need to when people read it for the first time. They're like, oh, it's called This Fucking Show? Neat. No, you gotta do this. This fucking show. There's not a font in the world that can get across our disappointment.
Yeah, I feel like if you need to have a stage whisper as part of the title of your show, you're not conveying it well enough.
Yeah.
But that's the show for this week. Again, James, thank you very much for being here with us.
But yeah, no, it was a lot of fun coming on.
Yay!
Yep, thanks very much. You can follow the show at Pop Culture Fail. Or nope, no, you can't. You can follow the show at Failed Pop Culture with no E at the end. You can email us at popculturefailure@gmail.com. You can follow me at Sandwich Surplus.
I'm at Midwest Love Affair.
That'll be in the description. And if you want, you can go ahead and go to iTunes and rate and review us. I'm told that helps the show.
I told them that. It doesn't.
Other podcasts supposedly see that as well, and I'm inclined to include it here. Yeah. So thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Yay. Ninja Turtles are on the scene. You mess with green, and it's gonna get mean. Ninja Turtles are on the scene. You mess with green.